Turning to Psalm 9 as our reading tonight to bring this gospel message, Psalm number 9. And we'll be singing precious words. Faithful is thy promise, precious is thy blood, these my soul's salvation, thou my Saviour God. And we commence even this message tonight by reminding you that there is no other Saviour for sinners other than the Saviour, Christ Jesus. And we're going to turn to Psalm number 9 and read this psalm as we come to preach the word of the Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. And surely, if there's one thing that we could pray tonight, that the Lord would put the sinner tonight in fear, that they may know they're but men. Men coming to the end of life's journey, and they need to be ready to meet the Lord. And we're praying that tonight. Dear sinner, we're praying it for your soul, because you need the fear of God in your heart, lest you will continue to hell without any care. And therefore, we're coming before God and asking for him to minister to you. Our Father God in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the reading of Scripture tonight. We thank thee for the singing of these praises, for our sister's ministry and song. And Lord, already in this meeting we can say we have been blessed. And yet, Lord, we come now to the reading and the preaching of thy word. And this is the central part of our worship, because it's in this part that we hear the voice of God. And we pray, Lord, tonight that thou wilt minister, Lord, through this servant. Lord, I am nothing and can do nothing for the souls of this people, but I can declare and present before them the precious word of God. And we thank you, Lord, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And therefore we pray, Lord, you'll help people tonight to be concerned about their soul. You'll help them to believe and receive truth. And even in this meeting, even as the preaching is taking place, may they bow their head and their heart and say, Lord, save me, a sinner. Lord, I pray tonight that God will be glorified and magnified in the truth that we preach and in the results of it. Lord, empty me of self and sin. I'm nothing. But Lord, fill me with thy spirit and make me God's man with God's message tonight. Help me to be faithful to the souls of this congregation. Lord, that on that day when I stand to give an account for this message, Lord, I'll not be found wanting. Lord, help me, I pray. May God be glorified. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. What have you done with the truth that you have received? You see, we have much information that comes to us in life, but I'm asking you what you've done with the truth. And that is simply the Word of God that you have received in your lifetime. Maybe it's a picture with a verse of Scripture hanging on a wall in your home. Maybe it's a bookmark that has a verse of Scripture written upon it. Maybe it's a lifetime of meetings where you've been faithfully taught the Word of God. Maybe it's a childhood of Sunday school where you sat under a faithful teacher. Maybe it is a person who can say they've been to almost every meeting and mission that's been held in this vicinity over the past number of years, over their past lifetime. And you've received truth. I dare say if I asked every person in this meeting tonight to quote me one verse of Scripture, you'll be able to tell me at least one verse that you know. But my question is not how much have you received. My question is not how much of it do you remember. My question tonight is, what have you done with the truth that you have received? In this passage of God's Word, in Psalm number 9, we could go through every single verse and preach a sermon on it. But ultimately, there is one verse that really the Lord this week has laid upon my heart. And I believe it's for this meeting, and I believe it's for people within this meeting. And the reason for it is a truth that ought to cause us to stop what we're doing and to stop on the journey and the busyness of life and consider how we're going to end the journey that we're on. And it's verse number 17. Verse number 17. And my simple thought tonight is this. I want to expound this verse for a few moments. And then I want us to consider what our reaction ought to be to this verse of God's holy truth. The verse is, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know, some people, as soon as they hear the word hell, say, hold on a minute, isn't God a God of love? Should you not be preaching a message of love? Why are you talking about hell? We're talking about hell because God is a God of love. And God, in his love, has given us this word to warn us of a place that sinners are headed to. God, in his love, sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary to save you from an eternity in hell. It's love to warn you of the danger that lies ahead. It's love for your soul to tell you that unless you repent from your sin and trust in Christ, hell is going to be your lot. In fact, the Word of God tells me, as a watchman, which is another name for a gospel messenger or gospel preacher, if I feel to declare the danger that lies ahead, then God will require your blood at my hands. But if I'm faithful and warn you about the danger that lies ahead and preach about Christ, then I'm free from the blood of the people before whom I stand. And therefore tonight, this is a warning. But remember, this is also truth. The word wicked, it means the guilty, the condemned, or the ungodly, those without God. And that's very simply speaking about anyone born into this world, because we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The word guilty, it's from a word meaning to be wrong. And I say to you in this meeting, if you're not saved, you're wrong. You're living wrong. You're living in a wrong fashion. You're walking in the wrong path. You're going to the wrong destination in eternity. It also means to violate. And anybody who is born into this world is born in sin, and they're born violating the law of God. We have all broken the law of God. By our very nature, we break the law of God. And it also means to make trouble. And friend, that is exactly what the life of sin is. It's a life of trouble. And yes, there's pleasure in sin, but for a season. But you see, whenever that season comes to an end, there's great consequences for sin. There's hell for the sinner. And therefore, we must tell you that the life and course and career that you're on without God, as a sinner, is a course of trouble. There is going to be trouble before you. You might be enjoying the high life now. You might be indulging in sin now. You might be enjoying the pleasures of sin. But you remember this, whenever the soul is cast into hell, not only do you lose your soul in hell, you lose all the pleasures of sin as well. There's no pleasure in sin anymore in hell. There's only torment and heartache. So here's the question. Who are the wicked? Who are the wicked that are going to be cast into hell? Well, in 1 John 5 and 19, it tells me that the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And born into this world, we're born in sin, and we're born shapen in iniquity. We are wicked. There's not one can declare their righteousness. And not only is everyone wicked by their birth, but the Bible tells us that they are thoroughly sinful. In Isaiah 1 and 6, it says, from the sole of the foot, even onto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And you know the picture that's being created there is a physical picture. It's not a pleasant picture to look upon, a body that's broken out in sores from the head to the foot. And there's nothing but oozing of the sores. And it's not a beautiful picture. The Bible says, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what the sinner is like. Every single part of him is affected by sin and afflicted in sin. And while we're not maybe as sinful in our practice as we could be, we're thoroughly sinful because every part of our being is sinful. And not only does the whole world lie in wickedness, not only does the whole person be declared to be sick with sin, but in the book of Romans in the chapter number 3, where we read those words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we read these words, and I want you to listen tonight. Listen to these words. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. And listen to these words. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I tell you something, if you're a sinner in this meeting tonight, and you think about God, and you think about eternity, you think about heaven, you think about hell, and you think about the day of judgment, and there's no fear in your heart, well then I tell you, you are in the bonds of wickedness. And you need the Savior to come and release you and set you free. What I'm trying to say tonight is this. Every single person in this meeting is wicked unless they've been saved by the grace of God. This word wicked is just simply another word for a sinner, for someone who is unsaved. And there are only two types of people in this meeting tonight, those who are saved by God's grace and washed in Christ's blood, or those who are not. And then it says here, they shall be turned into hell. They should be turned into hell. Now, there are those who look at this word hell, and the word in the original, the word in the Hebrew, can also be translated grave. And I've had those who've come to me and they've spoken to me and they've challenged me, saying to me that the hell that we speak about and the hell that we warn about isn't actually found in Scripture, because the word hell is simply a translation of the word grave. Now, there are times in Scripture when that is true. But let us look at the context of this word. The Bible says here, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, we know automatically that that word does not mean grave. Because while the wicked will die, so will the Christian. So we know that this is not talking about the physical death, and we know that this is not talking about the grave. There are times in Scripture, and various times in Scripture, that when that word, Sheol, which it is in the Hebrew, is used and translated hell, it does mean a place of eternal punishment. And if we read the very context of this psalm, it says in verse 7, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. This is a psalm that's speaking about the judgment of God. So if and when someone comes to you to say, well, you know what, hell, the eternal place of punishment isn't mentioned in the Old Testament, or it's not mentioned in Scripture, you turn them to Psalm number 9 and you show them these verses. Notice the use of it elsewhere. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 15, you'll find how it's also used to mean eternal punishment. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 24. It says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now we know that that's talking about everlasting punishment, because the way of life is above to the wise. That's speaking about making the wise choice to walk in the ways of Christ, the ways of eternal life. Well, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you will be delivered from dying. And therefore we see it as speaking about the eternal punishment. And the reality is, in Psalm 9 and verse number 17, where it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, that word turn is quite an interesting word, because it's the thought of they will go to the place where they belong. Maybe you're sitting thinking, hold on a wee minute, I don't belong in hell. I mightn't be a Christian, but you know, hell's a bit much. Well, the Word of God tells us if you're not saved, you're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. If you're not saved, then the schemes and the plots of hell are your lifestyle and your delight. You're engaging in the ungodly things of this world. And the reality is, the sinner belongs in hell. Every single one of us belong in hell. Because we're born in sin and in love with sin and under the control of Satan. But praise God, there's deliverance from hell. And for anybody who turns to you and says to you, and I've had it said to my face, there is no hell in the Bible. You can turn them to Luke's Gospel chapter 16 about the rich man. And the Lord says he died and in hell. And I marvel that there are people so busy trying to contradict Scripture and trying to prove that it's wrong instead of listening to what it declares. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. I want to speak for a few moments here about hell. What is hell? It's a place where the devil is, where the demons of darkness are and the damned souls that have died without Christ. Hell's the place where your soul will go to immediately on your death, until the day of judgment when body and soul are reunited, and then body and soul will be cast into hell. It's a place of everlasting separation from God. Hell is a place where God's anger and judgment upon sin is continually poured out. Hell is a place where your memory is intact and your senses are intact. Hell is a place where you can never escape from. There's no salvation there, friend. There's no light there. There's no water to quench. There's no comfort. There's no peace. There's no rest. And I tell you tonight, hell is real. And this Bible warns me about hell. And it calls me to flee from the wrath to come. And it tells me about the blood that Christ shed that can save me from hell. And maybe tonight in this meeting, you have some foolish idea of what hell is. The party, the gathering, the drinking, the gambling. You read the Word of God. It's a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and there will never, ever, 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 ever be a moment. And friend, even as I thought about it, what of the poor sinner who dies in that body that's been corrupted by sin? That's a body they'll be in for all eternity. The caverns of hell. The pain and the wreck of the ruin, while the glorious blessing of God's people as they receive a new body, glorified through Christ. And I want you to notice something else about this verse. It says, not only shall the wicked be turned into hell, but all the nations that forget God. Now, why does it speak like that? Well, first of all, we talk about the wicked. That speaks about the individual. But then talks about the nation. That speaks about the group. A friend, whether you're standing on your own as an individual sinner tonight, or whether you're maybe standing as part of a nation or part of a group tonight, and you do not know God and you have no call or you have no love for the Lord, it does not matter whether it's the individual or whether it's the multitude, because numbers and powers cannot protect from God's anger and judgment. There are nations today in this world where it's illegal to preach and teach of Christ, on the threat of imprisonment, on the threat of execution, on the threat of death. But I'll tell you something. You see, on the day the sinners of those nations stand before the one true and living God, all the powers of that nation will have been dissolved. And nothing will protect them from the one true lawgiver and the only judge of men. This is speaking about nations who reject God, who falsely worship other gods, or who ignore God. Look what it says here. Those who forget God. It's not that they don't know, but they forget Him. They do not regard Him. They do not regard His truth. They do not regard His warnings. But they go proudly and arrogantly on in their own sinful course. I do wonder. Could it be said of our country, are we a nation that's forgot God? And yet, praise God, for there's always a remnant, isn't there? There are those whom the Lord sees and keeps. Turn to Psalm 50 and verse number 16, because I want just to emphasize this point tonight before we think about our response. Psalm 50 and verse 16. God's a word for this unsaveness meeting tonight. I hope your Bible's open. I hope you're looking at it. This is God speaking to you tonight. Verse 16. But unto the wicked, or the unsaved, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, and thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. Friend, God is speaking here, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. My friend, the Lord is speaking to the sinner in this meeting tonight. And he says, though I kept silence as you sinned your life away, and you thought I was happy with the life you were living, I will reprove thee. And consider this. Think about this. Make this your number one priority. Lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. What will it be for a sinner to stand before God, knowing the truth, rejecting the truth, and the wrath and the anger of God casting him into hell? But the verse we mentioned this morning is the verse that we will use again tonight, because in Psalm 50, verse 15, sinner, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. We think of the deliverance promised in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have eternal life, have everlasting life. My friend, there is deliverance here. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. When a sinner comes to the Lord and says, Lord Jesus, I believe that your blood can cleanse me. I believe that your power can save me. Lord, come into my heart. Take away my sin. Make me your child. Then that person will be saved. But as we close our meeting tonight, I want us to consider, what is your response to truth? Not just all the truth you've heard in your lifetime, but to this verse tonight. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There's four reactions or responses that you can have, and I leave them with you briefly. First of all, you can delay in responding. You see, there are those who believe the Bible. And maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you say, I know this is true. And I know if I'm ever going to get to heaven, I have to trust Christ as my Savior and ask him to be my Lord. But not now. I don't need to convince you tonight that Christ is real and salvation is necessary. But the Lord tonight needs to convince you that now is the accepted time. You see, for some, they'll delay it, and the consequences are going to be eternal. Whenever the volcano exploded or erupted in Pompeii, in the ruins many, many years later, as they were excavating that site, there was found the petrified body of a woman frozen in the lava, now in stone, and in her hand, she was holding jewels. She had spent her time gathering jewels, even though the volcano was spewing out ash and lava, instead of fleeing from the doomed city. And by her delay, she lost both her life and her jewels. And there are many people today, they're making the same mistake. Friend, you cannot delay this matter any further. It's not a matter for next week. It's not a matter for tomorrow. When the Bible speaks about salvation, it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I remember when I was in Florida for September 2017, I had the experience of going through a hurricane. We had to go to one of the elders' houses in that place, and we were in curfew, we were not allowed outside for 48 hours straight as we waited in the hurricane passing. Now, for at least 10 days, and certainly in the week leading up to it, every radio station, every television station, that's all they were speaking about was the hurricane that was coming and the preparation that had to be made. The shelves in the supermarkets were, all the tinned goods were gone. People were fearful because a hurricane had been in Texas just the previous year, and as a result of that, there was great damage and destruction, and there was fear in the state at that time with the hurricane coming. And down at the very tip of Florida, there were some young men, four I believe, and one of them decided they wanted to stay and catch some of the waves with their surfboards. And as soon as they got some big waves because of the wind that was coming, then they were going to get into their car and they were going to just foot to the floor and drive as fast as they could and get out of there and try and out drive the hurricane. If you know anything about Florida, almost all the roads you go on, they're tolls. Well, the government took the tolls off the roads to allow the people to evacuate. They opened schools and public buildings to allow the people to come and have a place of shelter that were built specifically for that purpose. They made every effort to put out advertisements and literature and radio messages and television messages. Our very phones were getting text messages from the local councils telling us where we could go in case of emergency. And there was warning after warning after warning after warning about this storm that was coming and was going to cost people's lives if they did not do what was asked and commanded of them by their government. And those four young men went down to the south of Florida, and they were in the water, and they did catch some waves. But the young man whose idea it was and who persuaded the other three to come with him was brought out of the water dead. He died. He was drowned. The intensity of the wind picked up too quickly. He couldn't get his bearings. He was experienced, but he could not outrun the storm that was coming. And can you imagine what that journey must have been for those men to have to make? If only we'd listened, our friend would still be here. If only we'd listened, he wouldn't be dead. But it was too much sorrow and it was much too late. There are men and women, there are young people in this meeting tonight. And you've heard the warnings. I've declared the warning to you tonight on the authority of God's word. And friend, you're still no closer to the cross of Christ, or you're no closer to the blood of Christ than you were this time last year. And you're playing about with your soul. And should God call you from this scene of time, it's like that into hell for all eternity. And that's why the Bible says, oh, that they would be wise. Oh, that they would consider their latter end. Don't you think you've got more time than what God says to you? God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Today is a time you have to think about. Some people delay in responding. Some people try to distract themselves. They don't like to think about spiritual matters, and therefore they take every effort they can and make every effort they can to distract themselves and divert themselves from thinking about spiritual things. It's amazing whenever you look and see what people are doing in society. Earphones, headphones, phones, tablets, then television, radio, internet, music, activities, work, causes, anything and everything, so they don't have to sit alone and think with their own thoughts. Some people need noise on right to the moment they fall asleep, so they don't have that wee bit of time just as they fall asleep to think about serious matters. In church, some people come and they don't want to think about spiritual things, and they think about anything. They think about the football that's going to be played this week. Think about the trip they're going to take. Think about the things they need to do around the house, and that's what they're sitting doing. Maybe right this moment as my voice is speaking. And friend, you are diverting yourself from reality. And the busyness of life might bring you much in this life, but it proffers nothing for eternity. I read this poem this week, too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone who passes by the way, too busy working and worrying to think of the life to come, too busy building earthly mansions to plan for the heavenly one, too busy to help a brother who faces trials and suffering woes, too busy to share his burden. No time. I'm too busy, you know. Too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky. Too busy to serve the Master. But you're not too busy today. You're not too busy today. You're not too busy, but God could say to you this night, your soul is required of you. Like the night he called that farmer who had made his plans for the future. Friend, there's nothing wrong with making plans for the future. In fact, it's commanded in Scripture, but it must be done if God wills. And the other problem with him was that he had left God out of his plans entirely. Friend, have you been too busy for God? Too busy trying to close him out? Don't you forget he's everywhere. Don't you forget he knows everything. And friends, sometimes, listen, God has to bring us to the end of ourselves and put us on our back that we might listen. And there's times we've had to go to hospital beds and speak to people who were too busy for God until the Lord struck them down. Oh, don't close Christ out of your life. Don't be too busy. There's nothing more important than your soul. Oh yes, there are those and they delay in response. Some distract themselves, but then there's some they just deny truth. They say there is no God. They say there is no creator or judge or savior. My goodness, if you heard the people today talking on the television and on the radio, what nonsense they come out with. I do believe if you got five of them in a room together who say there is no God, they couldn't agree how we got here. But as long as God's out of the picture, they'll listen to any rubbish and nonsense without any scientific proof. You know what they're doing? All they're doing, they're trying to deny God out of this world and out of their lives. And friend, they can do all that all they want. God's still there. There are those who say there's no hell or there's no heaven. God has declared, your Creator has told you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you in your folly would say, there is no hell or there's no heaven. I just believe that's life over after you die. You ask someone on their deathbed. It'd be a great fool to ask or to declare there's no heaven or there's no hell. One of the biggest persons who set themselves against God was Voltaire in the 19th century. And friend, on his deathbed, after claiming he would have the Bible extinct in this world by his work, after claiming there's no such thing as God, you know what his cry was on his deathbed? There is a hell. I'm going there. Some will say there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as right and wrong. You know all that is? I don't want any standard to have to live by. I'll do what I want when I want. With him I want. There is no God. I was reading actually this week, Dr. Paisley was quoting in a sermon, and he was talking about those who say there is no God. And there was a general in the war, and he was sitting in the canteen, or just slightly after the war in the canteen, and he was boasting, there's no God, there's no such thing as truth, there's no such thing as religion. It's a waste of time. Just live and let live and do your best. And one of the soldiers said to him, sir, if there's no such thing as God and there's no such person as God, what were you doing on your knees at Dunkirk crying unto God to deliver you? Oh, there's many a person says there's no such thing as God, but you see, when tragedy hits their family, what's the first thing they do? They call a minister, they call a Christian, say, will you pray for me? Why would we need to pray if there's no such thing as God? I trust there's nobody in this church so foolish to come out with a statement like that. God has put within our hearts the law of God. Friend, even a sinner knows when they're doing something wrong. That's because God has given it his awareness of such things. The Bible says the creation declares his handiwork. And the Bible declares how we can know him. And there's a great problem with such denials. It's this: you can deny all you want, but it doesn't change the facts. Friend, you can say there's no such thing as gravity and go jump off a building. Your denials will not get you very far. You can deny that you need oxygen to survive, and you can starve yourself of oxygen, and you'll find that you're a fool. And you sit and you say, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 6 of Psalm 9. Thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. Those wicked men who set themselves against God, they'll be forgotten. But God endures forever. Don't you deny God. Don't deny the truth. Final thing then that people do: some delay, some distract themselves, some deny, some delude themselves. They'll take wee bits of the Bible, and if they like that bit, they'll keep it. If they don't like that bit, well, that's not really for me. Friend, this book stands as a whole, or it falls as a whole. It's a complete package from Genesis to Revelation. God has put a warning 3 times in this book for any who add to the Word of God or those who take away from the Word of God. He will deal with them. But then there's some people, and they'll delude themselves. Well, this is what I think God is like and who God is. And, you know, God would have to be this way because I couldn't understand it any other way. Friend, I couldn't understand it any other way. You know what that does? That swaps man and God and makes man the one with the great understanding that he can know the ways of God. And he set himself up here and put God down here as a little project that he can talk about and know the ins and outs of all to do with the Lord. And he's exalted above our understanding. He's glorious in power and in majesty and in might and in beauty. And we will never fully understand or comprehend God. Not until we get to heaven will we know much of who he truly is. But I tell you one thing we can do. We can trust him. We can place our faith upon the all-wise, all-seeing, all-knowing God, and we can rest upon him. Friend, don't delude yourself that you think you've God sorted out. He's above our comprehending. He's beyond our understanding, but praise God, we can know him by faith as he is revealed through his word. And listen to me, if anybody comes and teaches you and preaches you, well, God is this and God likes that, and they haven't a Bible verse to back it up, you tell them to wise up and go away. Because that's of no benefit to your soul. All we need to know about the Lord is revealed in the Holy Scripture. Some people delude themselves, say, well, sure, all religions are equal, and if we try our best, God will bless us. No, all religions are not equal. There's only one true faith, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not asked to be religious. We're not asked to follow a set of rules or a system. We're asked to put our faith in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation, turning from sin and trusting in Christ. Some people delude themselves by saying, well, you know, life's just about being happy and trying your best, and as long as I have a happy life, I've had a good life. What nonsense, friend. You might have had a happy life, but if you're not saved, you'll have a horrible eternity, a godless eternity, eternity of wrath and anger and darkness and pain. And then there's some people, and they delude themselves, and they'll say, my actions don't have consequences. My actions don't have consequences. Friend, they might not yet have been experienced by you, but I'm telling you tonight, your actions have consequences, and your sin will damn your soul in hell. Are you delaying trusting Christ tonight? Are you trying to distract yourself from truth? Are you denying truth? Are you deluding yourself? Well, my final thought is this. Friend, here's what you need to do. Delight yourself in the Lord. Decide for Christ tonight and follow him. Here's what the Word of God says. Romans 5 verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Praise God tonight. Though we are in our sin and we're bound for hell, there's one who can save us because he died for us, shed his blood upon the cross. And tonight he's saying, come unto me and I will wash you whiter than the snow, and I'll give you a new heart, and I will dwell with them by my spirit, and I will be your God and you will be my child. Friend, this can be done. Look what it says in verse number 10 of Psalm 9. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And this Bible verse teaches me that if you seek the Lord tonight, if you ask the Lord to save you, he'll not forsake you. No. But our God will love you and save you and bring you into his family. But friend, I'm warning you tonight. The wicked, that's you if you're not saved. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God. I want you to take your hymn book tonight, and I want you to turn to your closing hymn, 249. And we're singing this hymn of invitation for you tonight, sinner. We prayed for you in our prayer meeting. We sought to preach to you tonight from the Word of God. And in 249 it says, whosoever receiveth the crucified one, whoever believeth on God's only Son, a free and a perfect salvation shall have, for he is abundantly able to save. Listen, my brother, the Master is calling for thee. He's calling for you tonight. His grace and his mercy are wondrously free. His blood as a ransom for sinners he gave. And he is abundantly able to save. We're going to stand, sing this hymn together. And as we do so, if you're not saved tonight in this meeting, call on the Lord to save you. As we're singing these words, you call on the Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me from my sin. And praise God, tonight you'll be numbered among the redeemed. You'll be counted in. You'll not be turned into hell, but rather you'll be welcomed into heaven. Trust in him tonight. Let's sing this with all our hearts, and then our meeting is over. Let's really lift our voices together. We're singing this.
Thank you.
Lord's been speaking to you tonight. Don't turn away. If you've called on the Lord to save you tonight, then will you let us know after the meeting? We'll be able to give you some literature to help you in your walk with God. We will delight to rejoice with you in your salvation tonight. Maybe you've come back to Christ. Let us know that as well, and we certainly will pray for you and help you in whatever way we can. But friend, tonight, if you've been troubled and you're not yet saved, the Master is calling for you. And what if tonight should be the final call? Oh, trust in him now. If you'd like to speak to myself or one of our elders, let me know at the door as you leave, and we'll bring you to a room privately and speak to you about the things of God. We'll not force you to do anything. We'll certainly not pressurize you, but we'll show you from God's word the wonderful salvation our Lord offers. May God be glorified in what is said and done even this evening. We ask for his sake. Heavenly Father, what has been of thee, let it prosper. We believe, Lord, thou hast been in this meeting. And we're looking to thee, Lord, for the increase. I ask thee, Lord, tonight for that troubled soul. And Lord, they're going to put it off and walk out another day without Christ. Stop them in their tracks tonight. Bring before them the realities of a Christless eternity. Oh, Lord, turn their feet toward the Savior. Glorify thy Son, we pray. May he see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. For we ask it in his holy name. Amen.